WHD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Education Secretary Linda McMahon tells Fox her department is cutting more than 1,300 jobs, almost half its staff.
Clearly, we're not taking away education. The president never said that. He's taken the bureaucracy out of education so that more money flows to the states. Better education is closest to the kids.
President Trump's 25% tariffs on all steel and aluminum imports are now in effect. CBS's Weijia Jiang reports the European Union is retaliating.
The EU announced plans to impose counter tariffs on about $28 billion worth of U.S. goods starting in April, saying it must act to protect consumers and businesses.
CBS's Manuel Bojorquez reports police in the Dominican Republic have named a person of interest in the disappearance of University of Pittsburgh spring breaker Sudiksha Kananki.
National Police spokesperson Diego Pesqueira said authorities cannot yet determine if Kananki's disappearance is the result of an accident or foul play.
Kananki has been missing since last Thursday. CBS News Brief. I'm Michael Wallace.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. With just a couple of weeks left before the April 1st election, the candidates in the pivotal Wisconsin Supreme Court race will hold their only debate tonight. Judge Susan Crawford and Judge Brad Schimmel will get their chance to speak directly to voters on impactful issues like abortion access and legislative district maps. The race has already become the most expensive in the state's history. An Elon Musk-backed PAC has spent millions on advertising and outreach for Schimmel, while the Democratic Party has donated millions to Crawford. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources has announced that recipients of the ATV Enhancement Grant Program can now apply for supplemental grant funding as well. The ATV Safety Enhancement Grants were awarded for projects meant to improve the safety and accessibility of ATV and UTV trails across the state, including upgrades to communication systems and safety information. The supplemental funding will only be available to recipients of the original grants, and applications for the supplemental grants will be accepted until Friday. Marshfield Clinic Health Systems is looking for residents in the Rice Lake area who are interested in participating in a cancer prevention study. Residents between 30 and 70 years old with no personal history of cancer can enroll for the National Cancer Institute Connect for Cancer Prevention Study in Rice Lake today. A second enrollment session will take place in late April. The National Cancer Institute is seeking around 200,000 people across the country for the study, which plans to explore causes of cancer to improve prevention efforts. Rebecca Cook announced her candidacy for Wisconsin's 3rd Congressional District again at a Chippewa Falls farm on Tuesday morning. It's the third time Cook is running for the seat, having lost in the Democratic primary in 2022 and in the general election this past November. Notably, Cook did outperform both former Vice President Kamala Harris and Senator Tammy Baldwin in the 3rd Congressional District. Cook says she will be more aggressive in this campaign in an effort to hold Congressman Derek Van Orden accountable over controversial policies. For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly.
The Bucks lose at the buzzer. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks had the lead, but Oshkosh native Tyrese Halliburton with a spectacular three-point shot, then draws a foul, gave the Pacers a 115-114 win over Milwaukee. Doc Rivers.
That's on us. I told our staff, you know, we got to have our guys prepared better for that. You can see screaming before the play. We're already off the bodies, so we're in trouble before the play started.
The Bucks have now lost three in a row. College hoops, for the second year in a row, the UW Green Bay women's team winning the Horizon League tournament. They beat Purdue Fort Wayne 77-63. The Phoenix now headed to the NCAA tournament. The Badgers men play tomorrow in the second round of the Big Ten tournament. Greg Gard says his team has put that loss at home to Penn State behind them.
So one nice thing about younger adults, they move on faster than a 50-some-year-old head coach does.
NFL cornerback Eric Stokes leaving the Packers, signing a one-year deal with the Las Vegas Raiders. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program?
Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
We are watching a late-week system that could bring some thunderstorms late Friday, rain into Saturday, rain changing to snow late Saturday into Sunday. Also, a lot of wind. Stay tuned for updates on that. Today, sunny, mid to upper 50s. Tonight, low 30s. Tomorrow, partly cloudy with highs of the low to mid 60s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 30.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
What do you think about Donald Trump firing 80,000 employees of the VA? Steve from Madison, also a veteran. I'm hearing from one of our conservative texters saying it's okay because it saves money.
How does it save money if it kills people? I mean, how many suicides are there amongst veterans? How many of our seniors need health care? I mean, you take away money from us and it kills us. That's what it does.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Carmelo Anthony for The Bail Project.
Bad news, you've been arrested. Good news, your innocence is proven guilty. If you can pay your bail, good news, you go home to wait your trial. If you can't, sorry, you go to jail to wait. Sure, you still presume innocent, but since you can't afford bail, you've lost your freedom. That's not right. And that's why The Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting the end cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Dom Salvia.
Next time, a preview of the Wisconsin Supreme Court debate with Matt Rothschild and Angela Lang filling in. Tune in.
The Dom Salvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Up North News Radio.
Good morning and welcome to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. That's 855-752-4842. You can text us at that same number. Good morning, G. Cardi. How you doing, man?
Man, I'm feeling pretty good, Earl, man. I like that pink on you, man. Looking like the Pink Panther, man.
Listen, man. Listen. Everybody can't wear pink. Every man can't wear pink. I remember there was a time when if a man wore pink, oh, wait a minute, I can't say that. It's a different time. But anyway, I was thinking, before we get to our guest,
okay.
I was thinking that we were late in March, man. I don't know why I was thinking we were into the late days of March. Maybe it was the warm weather, man.
Yeah.
But, man, we're only at the 12th of March, mm-hmm. So we got a whole lot of this month left to get snow and ice and
Let's not bring that up anymore.
Yeah, all the other. Like I said, that old axiom, March comes in like a lion and goes out like a lamb. It came, well, you know. But anyway, what is it? It's Wednesday, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, all right, it's Wednesday. So that means we're joined by the coalition. What is it, man?
The lead free,
the
lead free water.
What is it, Robert?
You got the two lead coalitions. Out.
The campaign for lead free water.
Correct.
And joined by Mr. Paul Swartz, and then Flack with Robert Miranda. Good morning to the both of you gentlemen. How you doing, man?
You talk about you're talking about March. This is you're talking about the end of the empire, man. The eyes of March are here, brother.
hey, Paul, how you doing, man?
Hey, too, Earl. Doing just fine. we're turned the corner on spring, and we got the cherry blossoms are starting to bud, and we're getting days in the 70s. So
today you're in the 70s.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it can all of a sudden go down to 20, right?
It can, but less likely down south here than up in Milwaukee.
Yeah, well, maybe that's a good thing that you're down there. But anyway, clearly, man, we're still talking about lead. 855-752-4842 is not going away. Robert, where are we at today?
No, it's not going away, and clearly the situation, as time goes on, things that are more disturbing continue to be revealed, and the evolving of what's been going on, especially at our MPS schools, is disturbing, to say the least. In these last couple of weeks, we've been watching the health department commissioner and the MPS representatives and everybody and their mother out there in front of the cameras telling the city the latest news as what's going on with the four affected schools and what they're doing to remove the lead from the schools. A lot of the inside information is not being put out there. And that is, you know, what the parents have been pushing. They actually going to have another assembly this Saturday over at Bayview Community Center to address a number of topics that have come up. And some of those topics involved how, you know, the maintenance plans and work orders and other issues at the schools are showing a clear disregard for doing what needs to be done in order to protect the kids from lead and water. And some of these schools were waiting for their water results still. Maryland Avenue Academy and the Montessori School are still, we're waiting for those results. But from what we have from Golden Meier and Kaggle, we have seen the maintenance reports or work orders from those schools. And they're telling a very different story of what's going on with the water situation at those schools. And for example, the water, the work orders from the schools at Golda Meir, example, shows that for over 3 years, there wasn't any filtration changes or fixes or anything. For 3 years, nothing was done to at least document what they've done in order to make sure that the water is safe at the school. Kaggle is a little bit different. Kaggle shows that there has been some work done at the bubblers and filtration system is working properly and maintained. But it clearly also shows that it was erratically done every year. And the documentation is not very good in regards to what these two schools have been doing in order to ensure the water is safe. We're also getting reports from teachers at the schools who say that they've allowed our kids to go to sinks that do not have filters in them and fill their bottles up with those with that water that is not filtered. And so again, the reports that came out from the assessment showed that at least at the sinks, the kitchen sink, the sinks in the bathroom where kids are filling their water bottles up, show that lead levels in those sinks at a couple occasions were over 25 parts per billion. And so, you know, the school and the city touts that the buildings itself do not have lead service lines connected from the water main to the inside of the building. But what we don't know is how many of those buildings still have lead premises plumbing. And that has to be accounted for. We need to know how many of those MPS buildings have lead pipes inside them. You know, we've got lead pipes that can go up inside the walls, that climb up the walls to link up with bubblers and sinks on second, third, and fourth story floors. You know, we need to have a good accounting of what is actually going on, because the lead is coming from somewhere. The lead is showing in this water when they test it. So we need to know how many of these buildings have lead premises plumbing in them as well.
You know, Paul, this is a massive undertaking when you're talking about a district with 150 schools or so. You're in Washington, D.C. I'm sure you guys had to address issues with the schools and how that was handled. It's one thing because the sunlight is shining on it right now. And so they're going to do everything within their power to try to make sure that they're dealing with this. But how do you long-term prognosis and long-term involvement, how was that handled?
Yeah, well, the most important thing I think that Robert talked about was the necessity of oversight, audits, and public education, and the continuing role of parents and others in doing that. In Washington, D.C., we have post-filtration testing. We have a yearly report that is pushed out about what those results are on a public-facing website. There are still issues, and it's still important to take into account the fact that premise plumbing or in-the-building plumbing in all of the schools are going to show lead coming out at one time or another. We had two schools rebuilt from the ground up with new plumbing, and before filtration testing showed results sometimes in the hundreds or thousands of parts per billion. And that's because there is no plumbing that's made that doesn't have lead in it, including plumbing that says no lead that you can buy at a hardware store is by definition having lead coming in contact with water. That's just part of the federal definition. And so vigilance about the maintenance schedules, vigilance about whether the filters are being swapped out as the directions show. And, you know, you can get lemons. There can be filters that don't work, all of those things. But I want to add one more thing, which is that in addition to the schools being a source for lead and water, the types of home inspections that are done for kids with elevated blood leads really need to follow the science and take seriously the erratic or variable release of lead at the home. That can also, in addition to the schools, be a source on this.
You know, when so you
need a more comprehensive understanding about how lead gets into water and into people, and how lead in water is part of the overall picture of lead exposure in our communities.
So Robert, there is no law right now that says landlords must provide those filters. Is there anything in place right now? Because a lot of times, as Paul just said, we talk about the schools, but where the kids are most of the time at home, and they're moving from place to place, especially people who struggle economically, there's nothing to protect them as we speak. I want to hear your thoughts on that. 855-752-4842. Get the Lead Out Coalition is on board. It's Wednesday. Our phone lines are open as always. We welcome back Paul Swartz. He's the co-founder of the Campaign for Lead Free Water, and Robert Miranda of Flat, and you on the Earl Ingram Show.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap.
We expect our judges to be fair, impartial, to keep us safe. But Brad Schimmel cut plea deals with child pornographers. He blamed underage victims of sexual assault for their bad judgment. And Schimmel joined extreme MAGA Republicans in trying to ban abortion statewide, even for victims of rape and incest. Now he wants us to put him on the Supreme Court, where he could strip away our rights and be a rubber stamp for Donald Trump and Elon Musk. Brad Schimmel, dangerous, extreme, and unfit for the Supreme Court.
Judge Susan Crawford knows right from wrong and has spent her life keeping us safe. Crawford protected nursing home patients from identity theft and fought for the rights of workers across Wisconsin. Crawford will always protect our right to choose and is the check and balance we need against Donald Trump and Elon Musk. On April 1st, Judge Susan Crawford for Supreme Court. Paid for by Power to the Polls Action Fund, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's agent or committee.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Folks, we've got to talk about Derek Van Orden. The second-term congressman representing Wisconsin's 3rd District is at it again, dodging public meetings and making all kinds of unhinged comments. As many scramble and struggle to understand the chaos of what's happening in Washington, D.C. and how it's impacting people here in Wisconsin, Van Orden has been as frustrating and disrespectful as ever. In one instance, Van Orden took to social media to berate a veteran who had been fired from his job at the VA by Elon Musk's Department of Government Efficiency. And the veteran in question is simply someone who was just reaching out to his congressman, looking for answers. Van Orden's office has also hastily canceled public meetings, and he has made some especially wild accusations about people who have been attending these public events. Congressman Van Orden needs to stop this unhinged madness, and more importantly, be more available and accountable to his constituents.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Matt Nair on Air.
Not a question or an answer session, but the voice of oppressed resistance. Why are you hiding behind all of the lies? The ones destroying our children's lives. Milwaukee trying to rebrand itself as the fresh coast, having fun between the east and the west coast. The world needs to know about this dirty little secret. Drinking water, poisoning black, brown, and poor people.
Robert likes that song.
Water, everything considered premeditated murder. City Hall keeps talking about the lead paint. That they got the money from the hood trying to.
That's pretty slick, Robert. Where the millions went. Why the mayor using false narratives? Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. That's 855-752-4842. Get the lead out. Is on board with Robert Miranda from Plaque and Paul Swartz for Campaign for Lead-Free Water. You know, I was asking you guys, I think, was it you, Robert, that I was asking the question before we went to break?
Yeah, something regarding the property owners needing to hand out filters and stuff. There's no law or anything that the only time property owners are advised or told to do something is when a home is targeted for an environmental assessment. And when the environmental assessment takes place, that's when the homeowner has to comply with instructions that are made by the Milwaukee Health Department to help remediate the problem at the home. The problem that I've experienced when I've spoke with many families during this process is that they have witnessed many times where the water was never being tested. And if it was being tested, it was maybe tested one time at one tap, and usually that's the kitchen tap. Then they are given filters if there is any lead in the water. What also I'm told by a lot of these families is that if there are lead issues in the water, they're persuaded to believe that the issue really comes from lead paint and dust. And they're told that, and in some cases that I have spoken with families with, they are told that if they do not adhere to supervising their children even more, that they're supposed to be watching them because they are not watching them closely when they're going towards lead paint or crawling around the floor when there's lead paint issues at the house, that they will be referred to child services. And that causes parents to panic. And parents that I've spoken with have expressed that to me over the years. And I've heard that story, and I've actually mentioned that a number of times during committee hearings when we talked about this.
But that sounds nonsensical to me, Paul. What Robert just said, your parents, how can they detect or determine whether or not there's lead paint? You know, because a lot of times it's so, that powder is so fine, they can't determine. How can they, and what's the process, Paul or Robert, if I you know, need to find out whether or not my tap has lead water, it has lead in it? I mean, what is that? That's not, what is the process for a person who's dealing with this?
Well, I can address the water part, and then I'll throw it back to Robert for the paint and dust part. But, you know, with lead in water, the first thing to assume is that...
it is lead in the water.
Yeah, well, just first assume that there's going to be lead in the water, because we don't produce indoor plumbing or that doesn't have it in there. And the thing to understand is, to protect yourself from that by getting a filter that is duly certified to remove the two types of lead, which is soluble lead like sugar and tea, and lead particles or little chunks of lead that fall off and can have up to hazardous waste levels of lead in it. And just for the audience to remember that the filters that you're looking for are screw onto the faucet or on the countertop, and that they have NSF 42 and 53 certification, and that should be on the box. And if you install it right, if you operate and maintain it right, then you're gonna pretty much near eliminate the lead exposure from water. I think the paint, soil, and dust part of it, like you said, Earl, is, you know, it's a little harder for people to ascertain, and I'll turn it over to my colleague, Robert.
Yeah, that I'm not an expert on the situation with lead paint and dust, but I am speaking from my interviews and my experiences with families who have gone through this process. And many families do not really know how to identify what the lead paint looks like. They don't understand that the differences between right. if they have lead paint in their house or not. And so the education of the families in regards to identifying this is pretty much zero to none. So the only time they really understand something is wrong is when they see that their child has some kind of
motor skill problems. And yeah,
exactly. And that's when they start noticing and realizing that there is something wrong. And it's not until the child has been diagnosed, then all of a sudden they start learning all the differences between lead and dust and lead in water. And that by that time, the child already has been harmed and poisoned, and then you got to go through all the medical issues. So there's nothing that gives residents, families in the homes, any prior knowledge or any information to help them identify beforehand if they're moving into a house that is lead paint based or has issues with dust or has lead pipes. And that has to be hit right in the forefront before a person moves into a house or getting ready to rent a house.
All right, 855-752-4842. Hang on. We'll come to you guys on the lines. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show.
Did I lose you guys?
Is done. The map and academic numbers are the study show. Without fresh, clean drinking water.
This is 93.5 The Tap. This is your local Civic Media radio station.
Want to hear even more? Anytime?
Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. Wisconsin residents interested in becoming an organ donor can now do so while filing their taxes. The Wisconsin Department of Revenue has added a new option to the income tax return, allowing residents to sign up with the state donor registry right on their tax forms. Officials are hoping the added convenience will increase the number of registered donors in the state. Any resident above 15 years of age can register as a donor regardless of their health history. There are currently over 1,400 Wisconsinites waiting for organ transplants. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is looking for volunteers to participate in their rare plant monitoring program. According to a press release, the community-based science program asks volunteers to conduct surveys for rare plants across the state and track plant population trends during conservation efforts. The agency has run the program since 2013, and last year's program saw over 70 volunteers submit reports for over 220 rare plants. Interested volunteers can sign up for upcoming training sessions online. Spring Valley school officials are reminding residents of two referendum questions that will appear on the April ballot. The first question will ask residents to approve infrastructure upgrades covering things like security, electrical, and HVAC systems. The second asks residents to approve electrical and mechanical upgrades for Syverson Pool and to construct an 8-lane competition track facility. The district will host a live virtual meeting on the referendum questions on March 25th. The projects were chosen with the help of a community survey. Kinship of Rice Lake and Cameron is looking for community members to get involved with mentoring area kids. The program connects area residents with kids between the ages of 5 and 14 in an effort to provide them with additional support and build up their confidence. The kids are referred to the program through school counselors, their parents, or their legal guardians. Mentors can work with the kids for a couple hours each week for a year. The organization is also looking for residents to sponsor activities for the kids and mentors to do together. For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Robert Redford has come out of retirement to make his first acting appearance in 6 years. The 88-year-old will appear on an episode of AMC in Dark Winds. Redford is also an executive producer, along with Game of Thrones producer George R.R. Martin. Redford will appear on episode 1 of season 3, which will air this coming Sunday night. Redford requested his scenes be shot on a closed set due to his insistence on appearing in his altogether. The show Dark Winds is set in the 1970s and follows a Navajo police unit. The show's director, Chris Ayer, says Redford's fellow executive producer, George R.R. Martin, will also have a cameo in the first episode of Season 3. He added that the Season 3 executive producer cameos were part of the plan since Season 1. He also admitted that despite Redford being a phenomenal and supportive producer, the idea of directing the legendary actor really freaked him out. New episodes of Dark Winds drop on AMC Sunday nights. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
We are watching a late-week system that could bring some thunderstorms late Friday, rain into Saturday, rain changing to snow late Saturday into Sunday. Also, a lot of wind. Stay tuned for updates on that. Today, sunny, mid to upper 50s. Tonight, low 30s. Tomorrow, partly cloudy with highs of the low to mid 60s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 31.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Tom from Monona. I love this one. He says, this is Tom. I like to rub my feet together and drink milk out of the cow. Listen, we'd all spoon ourselves if we could, just for some affection. But rubbing your feet together, as I mentioned last week, is the closest thing to self-cuddling. It's just a relaxing, and Tom wants to do that, apparently laying under the udder of a cow. That is the idea of a chill evening on Fat Tuesday.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Matt Nair on air.
Will Westmoreland is joining us now. He is a farmer in southwestern Missouri.
This is an 80-20 Republican area down here. You can't throw a rock without hitting a Republican. And I still know all the guys I graduated with. So I always ask, don't admit you were wrong. Just admit you were lied to. That's a lot easier to do. If you just admit you were lied to, you can get over here with us and start working to fight the problem.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Brad Schimmel says he'll be on the Wisconsin Supreme Court to support Donald Trump's agenda. Deb Krautmiller joins us from the League of Women Voters. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
You know that it would be untrue
You know that I would be a liar if I was to say to you, hey, girl, we couldn't get much higher. Come on, baby, light my fire. Come on, baby, light my fire. Try to set the night on fire.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Text us at that same number. You know, Freshwater for Life's Robert Miranda and Mr. Paul Schwartz, who's the co-founder of a campaign for lead-free water, get the lead out, is on board. Let's go to the phone line. Excuse me, the phone lines. And David from Mequon, good morning. You say what?
Good morning. I just want to make a comment, and I got a question for your guest. My first comment is, by law, it's a federal law that a property owner, if they own a building that's pre-1978, they have to provide the tenant with a pamphlet showing, discussing about with lead, and then with a lead report actually on the lease. So if they're not doing that, if the landlord is not doing that, it's not a criminal offense. However, it could be a civil penalty. So the tenant could write to the landlord and say, okay, this is not right. I found something out, and you get this correct. And if you don't, and you didn't provide this, they have that as far as that going forward. My question, though, is back to the MPS schools. So during COVID, and this is what concerns me, the school district received $800 million in change of federal relief that was supposed to be used to fix existing schools, from air conditioning and heating units to, you know, the water laterals and all that other stuff. And unfortunately, when the referendum was passed last year, an additional, was it $265 million, we did not have any accountability as to where the monies have been spent. The state has said after the fact that MPS has not submitted with what they've done with all that money. And so the fact that we're still having these issues, and they were given a good chunk of change, and of course, the superintendent stepped down because of, you know, bad bookkeeping, basically. It affects these kids and the families in a bad way. So my question is there anything that can be done with this? Does the state have any ability of getting these numbers now finally as to what they actually did with the funds for the schools?
I think that good questions, Dave. You want to respond, Robert?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. There was a public safety and health committee meeting that was held about 2-3 weeks ago, where health department officials and MPS representatives attended to give accounting to the committee regarding this issue with MPS. And there was a lot of discussion in regards to those monies. MPS had no answers. As a matter of fact, there was a lot of hemming and hawing and uncertainty as to how and where the money went. Even the CFO didn't really have answers to some of the questions that the committee members presented. I think that this, with all the other issues, is the reason why now Governor Evers has moved forward with pushing for some accountability in regards to the district. Now, this isn't something that should be a surprise to MPS when it comes to the whole issue of lead and water. And actually, your caller is absolutely right. There is a law in regards to having the landlords report to those who are going to rent and lease the issue of lead-based paint concerns at the place they're going to rent. problem is that that doesn't cover lead pipes, lead laterals, service lines. And so something has to be done to ensure that homeowner or property owners or lessees are also given information about what's going on with the lead service lines. But getting back to MPS, we're waiting for a response of that committee meeting to give some of the answers that to the questions that they were asked at that committee. So right now we're waiting for their response and their answers to that. In the meantime, the health department is moving forward with inspecting schools now. They're going to be, there's a couple of things they're doing. They're going to be testing kids throughout the district for the next couple of weeks. And then they're going to be going, I think they got 10 schools they're going to be visiting and inspecting and doing investigations to see what the severity of lead contamination is at these schools. What we're wanting is to make sure that while they do this investigation, that they do their due diligence when it comes to lead, paint, and dust. But we also want them to investigate the plumbing issues at the school, the filtration issues at the school, and what needs to be done to improve that and remove those hazards, as well as what they're going to do to improve educating their staff on this issue as it relates to lead, dust, paint, and the water. And so that's where things are right now.
You know, Paul, what Robert is asking for is clearly accountability in what should take place. But when you're talking about a district with 156 schools, and Robert, you're saying they're going to be investigating 10. This is a monumental undertaking. And is the county going to, you know, make sure they can't, are they going to follow them throughout this whole process? Or are they going to at some point in time say, well, hey, this is bigger than what we can even deal with. We're talking about the budgets of the schools and the health department. Paul, I mean, I can see them, if they can wiggle themselves out of this at some point in time doing it, where, how do we hold them accountable?
Well, I mean, first, obviously, we didn't get into this mess in a moment. We've had lead in the paint and in the dust and in the water and in the soils around our communities for, you know, since before the Civil War. And we've seen diminishment of IQs, and we've seen loss of life because of those exposures. I think the question about resources and priorities and who's going to have accountability for the actions they're taking is a really good one. I don't have an easy answer for that. I think that moving forward, we need to demand that this become a priority, and we need to set up the type of structures both within government and out, frankly, outside of government in the community, that when the news cycle moves and the eyes are diverted, that the institutions just don't have a party and not do their job. And this is a struggle that we're having all around the country, I'm sure all around Wisconsin, everywhere. And one thing that would be really helpful would be to write into law a oversight function that has independence from the health department, from the schools, from the water authority, and that has accountability measures and public facing accountability measures built in.
You Robert.
Yeah, it's exactly what Paul says. The priorities have to be shuffled around. I think that for the last 30 to 40 years here in Milwaukee, we've seen this focus on building up Camelot. We've seen a lot of our money, a lot of city dollars going towards building up the infrastructure of downtown, building up the vanity of the city, and just investing entirely on that kind of infrastructure. And it's good that we're doing that to make the city look like a place where people around the world would want to visit. But the problem is, what is the cost? And the cost is the infrastructure of neighborhoods, the stability of neighborhoods. So we're putting in a lot of money to build skyscrapers, build new arenas, build the Deer District, build the lakefront, build everything to make everybody want to come and visit Milwaukee. But with all that money going there and the money that's supposed to be brought in, where is that money going to? Where is that money going to fix up the areas that have over the last 30 to 40 years sacrificed the infrastructure, public health? Where has that money been invested? Now we got a report that the sales tax that we just received has a $200 million windfall for the city. And that was said last week. Where is that $200 million going to go? So, you know, the priority here has to be now. We have to take care of the health of our community. We have to do something about the infrastructure of our community, or else we're going to see things continue to deteriorate in neighborhoods outside of downtown.
You know, Paul, it's because the conversation that we are having is it's kind of centered on and focused on urban centers in, you know, Washington, D.C. and you know, in Milwaukee. And you know, a lot of people in this listening audience live in rural areas, and they may not know, or they may not have the organized kind of push that you're getting from Campaign for Lead Free Water and from, you know, Coalition to Get the Lead Out with Robert Miranda and Flack. Well, what do you want to say to people who are listening, which is the majority of our listening audience, from rural areas in this state about what they should do?
Well, I think the first thing to do is to recognize, in terms of water and lead, that it's in almost every building, whether you live in a small town or rural community or a mid-sized community, and that getting a filter is something that you can do today that can end the exposure. There is the necessity, as people have done forever in rural America, also to organize in communities to protect the health of people. And we stand open, the Campaign for Lead-Free Water, to work with people from every community on these issues. And public education is at the forefront of what needs to get done. You know, just like people give up alcohol and don't drink caffeine and take their ascorbic acid when they're expecting a kid, people need to understand that you've really got to put a filter on the tap. And that's true anywhere you live in the state of Wisconsin or around the country.
All right, 855-752-4842. Is the number. You are certainly listening to Get the Lead Out with co-founder Paul Swartz, Campaign for Lead Free Water, and Robert Miranda, Get the Lead Out Coalition. The number is 855-752-4842. You can certainly join us.
Girl, we couldn't get much higher. Set the night on fire.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, Eau Claire, the Valley's home of Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
Judge Brad Schimmel is an anti-choice politician whose positions are too extreme for Wisconsin women. He supports a pre-Civil War law that bans abortion. But don't take our word for it. Hear it in his own words.
The 1849 ban on abortions, which, by the way, what is flawed about that ban?
The 1849 abortion ban provides no exceptions for rape or incest.
What is flawed about that ban?
The 1849 law criminalizes doctors and their patients.
What is flawed about that ban?
Brad Schimmel supports an 1849 law to ban abortion with no exceptions. Tell Brad Schimmel, extreme politics don't belong on Wisconsin's Supreme Court. Call 262-548-7548. That's 262-548-7548. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together, Incorporated.
Time for the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Berrio. A Wisconsin judge has affirmed that Canadian oil giant Enbridge must pause construction on its Line 5 pipeline while a legal challenge plays out. Conservation groups are suing to block state permits that would allow the company to clear trees, dig trenches, and fill wetlands in northern Wisconsin, all to make way for a new 41-mile section of the pipeline that carries Canadian crude oil to refineries in Ontario. Republicans and Democrats in Wisconsin coming together to support livestock grazing on our farms. State lawmakers introduced the Transition to Grazing Bill that will help our farmers improve soil, water quality, and livestock health by getting dairy cows and other animals out of the barns and out grazing on grass in the spring and summertime. For a deep dive into environmental issues and what you can do to protect Wisconsin's water, air, and land, check out my Defender podcast at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
93.5 The Tap.
At 855-752-4842. Text us at that same number. Co-founder of Campaign for Lead-Free Water, Mr. Paul Swartz, Robert Miranda, get the Lead Out Coalition. So, Robert, as we approach the spring and the warm weather and the warm days ahead, what is the plan for, again, get the Lead Out Coalition? What do you guys see as the most pressing issues, and how do you ramp up? Certainly, you know, when it's not sub-zero outside, probably stand a better chance of being able to have dialogue and conversation with people when it's warm.
Well, there is efforts to begin organizing not only more assemblies and town halls and community teach-ins, but to also be patient to hear what comes back from a lot of these investigations and reports from MPS and the health department as to the troubles that are they're facing and seeing the plans that they're going to put together to fix a lot of these issues. In the meantime, the work needs to be done to inform and educate the community on what we are currently facing, what has happened, how this can continue to harm our community and our children if nothing is done. And once we get that information from the health department and MPS, if it's something that is meaning to our standards and our liking, I think we can work together to make it doable and achieve a lot of the goals that they're looking to do. But If there are things there that need to be improved or need to be addressed more vigorously, we'll point those out and we'll get the community to contact their representatives and contact the elected officials and say, you know, we're missing this part, we're missing that part. We need to do something to improve here. We need to improve things here and there. But until we get those reports back, till we get those investigations and those plans back and read them over and see what they're going to do, what we're going to do is just continue to organize and continue to educate the public and prepare for mobilization if it needs to happen. And that's the plan.
You know, Paul, it clearly, like you said, there's no quick fix. This is a protracted struggle. And so it's not going away, is it?
No, it's not. But I think we need to take stock that we have some victories. We have parents organizing and spreading the news and reaching out to find out what's actually going on and what the okey-doke is. We've had Milwaukee public schools install filters. Now we just need to make sure that they're being used right and tested. Like Robert said, we're open to hearing from officials what's going on, but we're talking about decades and decades of the okey-doke. And so it's going to take a mobilized, educated bunch of folks joining together. And it doesn't have to be everybody, but it has to be a committed group of people who are going to take this fight on over time. And I just want to do a shout out to you, Earl, and to Civic Media for providing this space to do in-depth discussions and to sort of look at how the sausage is being made out there. It's really, really important to understand that you just don't pass a bill, it becomes law, and everything's okey-doke. We have work to do day to day in our communities over time, whether it's the lead issue or any other issue. And so this ray of sunshine that is the Earl Ingram Show is so important, and we're really appreciative of that.
Well, you know, Paul and Robert, you know, Civic Media and the Earl Ingram Show is committed to go as far as we have to go to make sure that this really life-changing information gets out to as many people as possible. Because I don't know anything that's more important than making sure that children are safe, man. I mean, you can worry about they're coming, the Russians are coming, you know, the Chinese are coming, and you spend trillions of dollars on nuclear weapons because they're coming to get us. Hey, man, inside your house, it's where the real worry is, man. And you don't have to spend trillions of dollars to take care of that, man. Robert, I you know, never understood that, man.
Yeah, it's always been a concept of fear that causes people to just surrender their liberty. So yeah. what we have to do is give people courage, and the courage they can get is by getting information and knowing what's going on around them.
Hey, guys, thank you. We'll see you in a week. Thank you, as always. Up next, Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action, and the news of the day, which is always plenty when we're talking about Donald Trump and his campaign.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap Eau Claire, Chippewa Valley's home for the Todd Allball Show.
Pete Schwabba.
Our next live broadcast is Thursday, where I welcome Mary Mack, who will make the popcorn pick of the week. And then comedian Rob Brackenridge joins me in the studio. Always fun.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Folks, I'm talking with Jill Rosenthal. Trump is proposing to make incredibly drastic cuts to the NIH.
The National Institutes of Health, the state receives almost $600 million. That pays for over 7,000 jobs in Wisconsin and accounted for almost $1.5 billion in economic activity in 1 year.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228 EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. The Education Department is cutting more than 1,300 jobs, almost half its workforce. Becky Pringle is president of the National Education Association.
We are not going to stand by while this federal government guts our public schools for the purpose of giving more tax breaks to billionaires like Elon Musk.
President Trump has imposed 25% tariffs on all steel and aluminum imports. Commerce Secretary Howard Lutnick is defending Trump's tariffs.
These policies produce revenues, they produce growth, they produce factories being built.
Canada and the EU have announced retaliatory tariffs. The latest consumer price index shows inflation cooled a bit last month, but CBS's Jill Schlesinger says some prices are skyrocketing.
When you look at motor vehicles,